Steve, you will be able to recall this subconscious memory in your conscious mind. You will retain this picture of your mother for the rest of your life. You now know how she truly felt about you and that her energy is still with you. Is this clear?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Dr. Newton, now, move forward in time and tell me how you feel about your foster parents.
Yes.
Never satisfied with me, made me feel guilty about everything, controlling and judging me, subjects' faces dripping wet with tears and perspiration, don't know who I am supposed to be. I'm not real, Dr. Newton. I raise my voice. Tell me what is unreal about you.
Yes.
Pretending. Stops, Dr. Newton. Keep going.
Yes.
I'm not really in control. Constant anger. Mistreating people to get even. Hopelessness. Note, after additional conditioning, I will now take my subject back and forth between his subconscious and superconscious mind. Dr. Newton, all right, Steve, now let's go back to the time before your birth into this life. Tell me if you have ever lived in another life with the soul of your birth mother.
Yes.
Long pause. Yes, I have. Dr. Newton, was there ever a particular life you lived with this soul on Earth which involved any sort of physical or emotional pain between the two of you?
Yes.
After a moment, subject's hands grip the arms of his chair. Oh, damn, that's it.
Of course it's sir.
Dr. Newton, try to relax and not go too fast for me. I want you to enter the life you see in your mind at the most crucial point in your relationship with this soul on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
S.
A deep sigh. Oh my, it's the same person, a different body, but she was my mother then. 2. Dr. Newton, stay focused on the Earth scene. Is it day or night?
S.
Pause. Broad daylight. Hot sun and sand. Dr. Newton, describe what is happening under the hot sun in the sand.
S.
Haltingly, I am standing in front of my temple, before a large crowd of people. My guards are in back of me.
S.
Her.
S.
A long, white robe and sandals. I have a staff in my hand with gold snakes on it as a symbol of my authority. Dr. Newton, what is your name?
Dr. Newton, what are you wearing, her?
Dr. Newton, what is your authority, her?
S.
Proudly, I am a high priest. Note, further inquiries revealed this man was a tribal leader who was located on the Arabian Peninsula close to the Red Sea around 2000 BC. In pre-classical times, this area was known as the Kingdom of Sheba, or Saba. I also learned the temple was a large oval structure of mud bricks and stone dedicated to a moon god. Dr. Newton, what are you doing in front of your temple?
S.
I am on the steps judging a woman. She's my mother. She is kneeling down in front of me. There is a look of pity and fear in her eyes as she looks up at me. Dr. Newton, how can her eyes show both pity and fear at once?
S.
There is pity in her eyes because of the power which has consumed me, in taking so much control over the daily lives of my people. And there is fear, too, for what I am about to do. This disturbs me, but I must not show it. Dr. Newton, why is your mother kneeling on the temple steps before you?
S.
She has broken into the storage house and stolen food to give to the people. Many are hungry at this time of year, but I alone can order distribution. The food must be measured out carefully. Dr. Newton, did she act against some rule of food rationing? Was this a question of survival?
S.
Abruptly, there is more to this. By disobeying me, she is undermining my authority. I use the distribution of food as a means of control over my people. I want them all to be loyal to me. Dr. Newton, what are you going to do with your mother?
S.
With conviction, my mother has violated the law. I can save her, but she must be punished as an example. I decide she will die. Dr. Newton, how do you feel about killing your own mother, her?
S.
It must be done. She has been a constant thorn in my side, causing unrest among my people because of her position. I cannot govern freely with her here any longer. Even now, she is defiant. I order her death by banging my staff on the stone steps. Dr. Newton,
Later on, are you sad about ordering your mother's execution? S. Voice becomes strained. I must not think about such things if I am to maintain power. At this point, Steve's mind had relived two emotionally wrenching events involving voluntary actions of separation between mother and son. Although he had made the karmic connection, it was important that his abandonment as a baby not be isolated as pure historic retribution. For healing to begin, we had to go further. The next stage in our session together was designed to recover Steve's soul identity. To do this, I took him into the spirit world. In each of my cases, I tried to bring the subject back to the most appropriate spiritual area to get the best results. In case 13, I used the place of orientation. With case 27, we will go back to relive the spiritual time just after his return from the place of life selection. In this setting, I want Steve to see the reasons for his current body choice and the role of other soul participants in his life. Dr. Newton, by what name are you known in the spirit world? S. Summers. Dr. Newton. All right, Summers. Since we are now in the spirit world again, I want us to go to the period just following your initial viewing of the man who is Steve. What are your thoughts? S. Such a resentful man, he is so angry about his mother dumping him on a doorstep, and those hard-nosed people who will take over as his parents. I don't know if I even want to take this body. Dr. Newton, I understand. But why don't we put that decision aside for a few minutes while other things develop? Tell me what you actually do once you leave the place of life selection. S. Sometimes I might want to be by myself for a while. Usually, I am anxious to have the opinions of my friends about the lives I look at, especially one this rough. Dr. Newton, surely, you had more than one body option? S. Shakes head. This is one I should take, it's a rough decision. Dr. Newton, tell me, Summers, when you are back with your group of friends, do you discuss the possibility of yourself associating with some of them in the next life? S. Yes, more often than not, these close friends are going to be in my life to come, just as I will be in theirs. Some of my clutch will not be in certain lives. It doesn't matter. We all discuss our next life with each other. I want to get their ideas on details. You see, we all know each other so well, our strengths and weaknesses, former successes and failures, what to watch out for, that kind of thing. Dr. Newton, did you discuss with them any details about the kind of person you should be in your next life before actually going to the place of life selection? S. Oh yeah, in a roundabout way. Nothing concrete. Now that I have seen Steve, and who the others might be in relation to him in this life, there are reservations. So I talk to Jaw. Dr. Newton, is Jaw your guide? S. Yes, he listened a lot to what I had to say about who I thought I should be before I was sent to the place where we look at lives. Dr. Newton, okay, Summers, you have just returned to your primary cluster group from the place of life selection. What do you do first? S. I talk about this guy Steve who is so unhappy, no real mother, all that stuff, what kinds of people will be around him, their plans, too, it must fit all together for us. Dr. Newton, you mean which souls are going to take certain bodies? S. Right, we need to firm that up. Dr. Newton, are soul assignments still negotiable at this point, or is everyone told which body they will be in after leaving the place of life selection? S. No one is forced to do anything. We know what should be done. Jaw, and the others help us make adjustments, they are sent in to round out the picture. Subject's face becomes grave. Dr. Newton, is something bothering you at this moment, Summers? S. In a cheerless manner, my friends are moving away, there are others coming. Oh, Dr. Newton, I gather some deliberations are about to occur with other souls. Try to relax as best you can. On my command you will clearly relate to me everything that is happening. Do you understand? S. Nervously, yes. Dr. Newton, begin. How many entities do you see? S. There are four of them, coming over to me, Jaw. Is one of them, Dr. Newton, who is first? S. Subject grabs my hand, it's. She wants to be my mother again. Dr. Newton, is this the soul of the woman who is Holmes and Steve's mother?
S.
Yes, she is. Oh, I don't want to. Dr. Newton, what's going on?
S.
Eon is telling me it's time for us to settle things, to be in a disordered life as mother and son again. Dr. Newton, but Summers, didn't you know this at the place of life selection when you viewed Steve's mother taking her baby to the church?
S.
I saw the people, the possibility. It was still an abstract consideration. It wasn't actually me yet. I guess I need more convincing because Eon is here for a reason. Dr. Newton, I take it none of these newly arrived entities is from your own clutch?
S.
Sighs. No, they are not. Dr. Newton, why did you and Eon waste 4,000 Earth years before discussing a balancing out of your treatment of her in Arabia?
S.
Earth years mean nothing. Offset the harm I did her as her. She says, the circumstances are right for this exercise now. Dr. Newton, if your soul joins with the body of Steve in Texas, will Eon consider this karmic payment for your debt?
S.
Pause, my life as Steve is not supposed to be punishment. Dr. Newton, I'm glad you see that. So what is the lesson to be learned?
S.
To feel what desertion is like in a family relationship. Deliberate severing. Dr. Newton, the severing of the mother and son bond by deliberate action?
S.
Yes, to appreciate what it is like to be cast off. Dr. Newton, allow Eon to move away to jaw. Coming forward oh shit, it's Talon Kalish. Subject squirms in his chair and tries to ward off the two spirits in his mind by pushing the palms of his hands outward. Dr. Newton, who are they?
S.
In a rush of words, Talon Kalish have volunteered to be Steve's, my foster parents. They were in laws in the German life. Note, we digress for a few minutes while Summers briefly explains a past life in Europe as a high, as the object of scorn from his wife's influential parents. Dr. Newton, are you saying that Talon Kalish lack the capability for the assignment of being your foster parents in Texas?
S.
Shakes head with resignation. No, they know what they are doing. LT's just that with Kalish, it's always a rough ride. She chooses to be people who are critical, demanding, cold. Dr. Newton, does she always present that sort of behavior in human bodies?
S.
Well, that's her style with me. Kalish is not a soul who engages easily with others. She is independent and very determined. Dr. Newton, how about Talu as your adoptive father?
S.
Stern, allows Kalish to lead, can be too detached, emotionally private. I'm going to really rebel against them this time. Dr. Newton, okay, but will they teach you something?
S.
Yes, I know they will, but I am still arguing about it. Jaw and Dion come over. Dr. Newton, what do you say next at this conference?
S.
I want Dion to be my foster mother. They all laugh at me. Jaw won't buy my explanations. He knows I am close to Eoni. Dr. Newton, do they make fun of you, Summers?
S.
Oh no, it's not that way at all. Talu and Kalish question my reluctance to tackle my faults with them. Dr. Newton, well, I was getting the impression you thought these souls were ganging up on you to force a decision to join with the Texas baby.
S.
That's not how it goes here. We are discussing my misgivings about the life itself. Dr. Newton, but I thought you didn't like Talu and Kalish.
Is,
they know about me, I need strict people or I ride over them. Everyone here sees I have a tendency to indulge myself. They convince me an easy life without them will be like treading water. Both of them are very disciplined. Dr. Newton, well, it sounds like you have about made up your mind to go with them into the Texas life.
S.
Musing, yes. They are going to make a lot of demands on me as a child. Kalish sarcastic, Talu a perfectionist, losing Eon. It's going to be a rough ride. Dr. Newton, what will playing the roles of your parents do for Talu and Kalish?
S. Kalish and Talu are indifferent,
configurations than me. I'm not supposed to get all muddled up in their business. It has something to do with their being rigid people and overcoming pride. Dr. Newton, when you are on Earth, does your soul, mind always know the reason why certain people who influence you positively or negatively are significant in your life?
Yes,
but that doesn't mean the person I am in that life understands what my spirit knows. Smiles, that's what we should be able to figure out on Earth. Dr. Newton, which is what we are doing now.
Yeah,
and I am cheating a little with you helping, but it's okay, I can use it. It does seem an enigma that the knowledge of who we really are as souls is so difficult for many of us to reach through our conscious minds. By now I'm sure the reader has discerned that even in a superconscious state, we do retain the ability to observe ourselves with a portion of the critical center of our conscious mentality. Assisting clients in reaching their inner selves by linking all facets of the mind is the most important part of my work in hypnotherapy. I want Steve to gain insight into the motives for his behavior by understanding his soul. The dialogue which follows provides us with further disclosures as to why Summers integrated into Steve's body. The spiritual conference with Jaw, Ion, Tau, and Kalish is over, and I have taken Summers to a quiet setting in the spirit world for this discussion. Dr. Newton, tell me, Summers, how much of who you really are as a soul identity is reflected in the human beings you have occupied?
Quite
a lot, but no two bodies are alike. Laughs, good body and soul mergers don't always happen, you know. I remember some of my former bodies more fondly than others. Dr. Newton, would you say your soul dominates or is subordinated by the human brain?
That's
difficult to answer because there are subtle differences with the brain of each body which affects how we exhibit ourselves from that body. A human would be pretty vacant without us. We treat Earth bodies with respect, though. Dr. Newton, what do you think human beings would be like without souls? Dominated by senses and emotions, Dr. Newton, and you believe each human brain causes you to react differently?
Well,
that which I am, is able to utilize some bodies better than others. I don't always feel fully attached to a human being. Some physical emotions are overpowering and I am not so effective. Dr. Newton, such as the high level of rage displayed by Steve's temperament, perhaps affected by the central nervous system of this body?
Yes,
we inherit these things. Dr. Newton, but you knew what Steve would be like before you chose his body?
In disgust.
That's right, and it's typical of how I can make a bad situation worse. I am able to interpret only when the storms of the human mind are quiet, and yet I want to be stormy people. Dr. Newton, what do you mean by interpret?
Interpret
ideas, make sense out of Steve's reactions to turmoil. Dr. Newton, to be frank, Summers, you sound like a stranger inside Steve's body. I'm sorry to give you that impression. We don't control the human mind. We try by our presence to elevate it to see meaning in the world and to be receptive to morality, to give understanding. Dr. Newton, that's all very well, but you use human bodies for your own development too, don't you?
Sure,
it's a blending, we give and take with our energy. Dr. Newton,
you
tailor your energy to fit a host body? It would be better to say I use different facets of expression, depending on the emotional drives of each body. Dr. Newton, let's get specific, Summers. What is going on between you and Steve's brain at this time on Earth?
I
have felt submerged. Sometimes my energy is tired and unresponsive to so much negativity. Dr. Newton, looking back to your choices of her, Steve, and those other human bodies in between, do they all have traits in common which attracted you?
Long
pause, I am a contact entity. I seek humans who involve themselves aggressively with others. Dr. Newton, when I hear the word aggression, this means hostility to me as opposed to being assertive. Is this what you intended to say?
Well, I'm attracted to those who influence other people, vigorously, at full tilt.
Dr. Newton, are you a soul who enjoys controlling other people?
I wouldn't say control, exactly. I avoid choosing to be people who have no intense involvement with those around them.
Dr. Newton, Summers, aren't you being controlling when you try to direct other souls in their lives?
No response.
Dr. Newton, what would Jaw say about your human relationships?
That I like power as a means of influencing the acts of humans who are decision makers. That I crave social and political groups where I lead.
Dr. Newton, so, you would not enjoy being in a human body which was quiet and unassuming?
Definitely not.
Dr. Newton, I push harder, Summers, isn't it true you took pleasure in the way you were a part of Holmes' misuse of power in Arabia, and that you gained satisfaction as Steve from mistreating your employees in Texas?
Loudly,
no, that isn't true. Things get out of hand easily when you try to lead humans. It's the conditions on Earth which screw everything up. It isn't all my fault.
Dr. Newton, is it possible that both Herm and Steve became more extreme in their conduct because your soul was with them?
Heavily, I haven't done well, I know that.
Dr. Newton, look Summers, I hope you know I don't think you are a bad soul. But maybe you are easily seduced by the trappings of human authority and you have now become someone who feels in conflict with society.
Disturbed, you are beginning to sound like Jaw.
Dr. Newton, I don't presume to be doing that, Summers.
Perhaps Jaw is helping us both to understand what is going on inside you.
Probably.
Steve and I have reached a productive stage of contact with his soul. I address this subject as if he were two people, while tightening the bowstring between his conscious and unconscious self. After applying additional conditioning to pull these two forces closer together, I close our session with a final series of questions. It is important his mind not be allowed to drift or his memories to become dissociated. To foster responsiveness, my questions are confrontive and spoken rapidly to increase the tempo of my subject's answers.
Dr. Newton, Summers, begin by telling me why you originally accepted Steve's body.
Rise above my attraction for leading others, always wanting to be in charge.
Dr. Newton, is your soul identity in conflict with the direction Steve's life has taken?
I don't like that part of him which is fighting to be on top and won't tune out.
Dr. Newton, I see, and how is this accomplished, Summers?
By not being too active.
Dr. Newton, because you are intimidated by a body in an emotional tailspin?
Well, I go into a shell.
Dr. Newton, so, you use avoidance in not actively dealing with the major lesson you came to Earth to learn?
Dr. Newton, Steve, your adoptive parents were rough on you, weren't they?
Yes.
Pause, to know what being constantly judged is like.
Overcome, and be whole.
Bitterly, I don't know,
Dr. Newton.
Do you now see why?
Dr. Newton, what else?
Dr. Newton, I think you do know, Steve. Tell me about the damaged self you present to people around you.
After some procrastination, pretending to be happy, covering up my feelings by drinking and mistreating people.
Dr. Newton, do you want to stop this cover-up and go to work?
Yes, I do.
Dr. Newton, define who you really want to be.
Tearfully, we don't want to be hostile to people, but don't want to risk being a non-person, without respect or recognition, either.
Dr. Newton, so you are on a fence?
Quietly, yes, life is so painful.
Dr. Newton, do you think this is an accident?
No, I see it isn't.
Dr. Newton, Steve and Summers, repeat after me, I'm going to give back the pain of Eon, Tau, and Kalish, which they gave to me for my own good, and get on with my life by becoming the identity I really want to be.
Subject repeats these words three times for me. Dr. Newton, Steve,
What are you going to do about revealing yourself in the future, and taking responsibility for improvement?
S. After a couple of false starts, learn to be more honest.
Dr. Newton, and to trust that you are not a victim of society?
S. Yes.
This case ended with my reinforcing Steve's understanding of who he really is and his mission in life. I wanted to help liberate him as a person of value, with a contribution to make in society. We talked about his love and fear choices, as well as the necessity to get in touch with himself frequently. I felt we had laid the groundwork for his dealing with resentment and a lack of intimacy. I reminded Steve of the need for follow-up counseling. About a year later, he wrote to tell me his recovery was going well, and that he had found the lost child within himself. Steve realized his past mistakes were not failures, but the means to improvement. Case 27 demonstrates how the hard tasks we set for ourselves often begin in childhood. This is why considerable weight is given to family selection by the soul. The idea that each of us voluntarily agreed to be the children of a given set of parents before we came into this life is a difficult concept for some people to accept. Although the average person has experienced love from his or her parents, many of us have unresolved, hurtful memories of those near to us who should have offered protection and did not. We grow up thinking of ourselves as victims of biological parents and family members whom we inherited without any choice in the matter. This assumption is wrong. When clients tell me how much they suffered from the actions of family members, my first question to their conscious mind is, if you had not been exposed to this person as a child, what would you now lack in understanding? It may take a while, but the answer is in our minds. There are spiritual reasons for our being raised as children around certain kinds of people, just as other people are designated to be near us as adults. To know ourselves spiritually means understanding why we joined in life with the souls of parents, siblings, spouses, and close friends. There is usually some karmic purpose for receiving pain or pleasure from someone close to us. Remember, along with learning our own lessons, we come to Earth to play a part in the drama of others' lessons as well. There are people who, because they live in a terrible environment, suspect the spirit world of not being a center of divine compassion. However, it is the ultimate in compassion when beings who are spiritually linked to each other come forward by prior agreement into human lives involving love-hate relationships. Overcoming adversity in these relationships may mean we won't have to repeat certain abrasive alliances in future lives. Surviving such trials on Earth places us into a heightened state of perception with each new life and enhances our identity as souls. People in trance may have trouble making a clear distinction between their soul identity and human ego. If the human personality has little structure beyond the five senses and basic drives for survival without ensoulment, then the soul is our total personality. This means, for example, that one could not have a human ego which is jealous and also possess a soul which is not jealous. Yet my cases indicate there are subtle variations between their soul identity and all that is manifested by the human personalities of many host bodies. Case 27 showed similarities and differences in the personalities of Herman Steve. Our constant soul, self seems to be a governing agent of human temperament, but we may express ourselves differently with each body. The souls of my subjects apparently select bodies which try to match their character flaws with human temperament for specific growth patterns. In one life, an overly cautious, low, energy soul might be disposed to blending with a quiet, rather subdued human host. This same soul, encouraged to take greater risks in another life, could choose to work more in opposition to its natural character by melding with a temperamentally high, strung, aggressive body type on Earth. Souls both give and receive mental gifts in life through a symbiosis of human brain cells and intelligent energy. Deep feelings generated by an eternal consciousness are conjoined with human emotion in the expression of one personality, which is as it should be. We don't need to change who we are in relation to life's experiences, only our negative reactions to these events. Asian Buddhists say enlightenment is seeing the absolute soul ego reflected in the relative human ego and acting through it during life. In the chapters on beginning, intermediate, and advanced soul levels, I gave case samples of soul maturity. I think souls do demonstrate their own patterns of